374. I like to sing the first, second, and fifth verses, and then the chorus at the end of the fifth verse. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a sand, and so I'll do the best I can to be a child of God each day. My light will shine along the way. I'll sing his praise while ages roll, and strive to help some troubled soul. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. Try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have. There will be no setting sun. Right across the page before our opening prayer. First and last verse. I'm pressing on the upward way, through heights I'm gaining every day. I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith ahead, the stable land, a higher plane than I had found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. To scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith ahead.
Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Dear Father, this day we're so thankful that we can gather together here in peace and in comfort to hear your word, to greet one another. We pray, dear Father, as we gather, we'll not forget the purpose of the gathering. No, we forget how we should conduct ourselves in our lives. As we come to you this morning, dear Father, we can look around the world and see wars and rumors of wars, people being hostile to one another for ridiculous reasons. We pray, dear Father, that that we may learn to get along with each other as you had wished. Help us to realize we are our brother's keepers, that we should not cherish that which belongs to others, that we should love the Word, follow the Word, and teach the Word. And as we remember these things, dear Father, help us to not forget those who are in need of our prayers. We come to you asking that you be with Gracie Davis, Gina Downs, our brother Clarence Irwin, be with Debbie Helton, Bobby Abney, Shirley Calcutt, Ken Gatewood, Hubel Freeman, Doug Dugas, Tiffany Henson, James Gatewood, Von Beatty, Gary Turnbull, John Baldwin, and others who are ill but we're unaware of. Be with us all, dear Father, through our lives as we struggle physically, as we struggle to make it in this material life. But help us all, dear Father, as we struggle to be spiritually strong. We ask this all in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
We now have the privilege and the honor to serve and partake of the Lord's Supper. Before us, we have two emblems. We have the bread of life that represents his body that was crucified on the cross at Calvary. And we have the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We humble ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you, Father, for the body, his precious body, his sinless body, that he gave on the cross on our behalf. It is in Jesus' name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let's continue. Dear Father, as we're about to take of this cup, help us to remember the blood of Christ, the blood that was shed for us, the blood that sealed the testament and brought us hope for salvation. Help us to do it in a way that will be pleasing in your sight, looking inward, for we ask in Christ Jesus' name, amen.
If anyone was overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, would you please signal by raising your hand, and you will be served. At this time, seeing no hands, we have another honorary duty unto God, and that is to give back unto Him the first fruits of our labor. At this time, we have the privilege to do so. Let us bow. O kind and merciful Father, we are so grateful and so thankful for you giving us the perfect gift, your perfect Son. We are so grateful and thankful that we can give back in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is in His name we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
meditation after our lesson this morning, you know, 383. 383. And before our lesson and scripture reading, right across the page. 382. First and second verse. 1 and 2. I care not today what the morrow may bring, its shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith. Tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The Master looks on at the stride. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From a heart safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no
scripture for this morning's lesson, titled Dare to Live a Godly Life, will be taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Once again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. And it reads, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which cometh to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And now, Brother Skip.
Say good morning. Truly, God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for, again, allowing us to be among the living, to be able to come to the house of worship, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who have taken part in our service thus far. Now, Heavenly Father, as we clear our minds and we focus upon your word, the things that it has to say, may we look on our lives to make sure that we are living and doing in accordance to your holy and divine will. Just continue to be with us throughout this day and throughout our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dare to live a godly life. A question that has often been asked of Christians. If you were ever put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If your life were ever compared to an ungodly or non-believing person, what would distinguish your life from theirs? Dare to live a godly life. What does it mean to dare? It means to have the necessary courage or boldness for something. What does it mean to be godly? It means to have a love for the things of God and to walk in the ways of God. Because godly living requires continuous fellowship with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So when you look in our text this morning, Paul wanted Timothy, and he wanted the church to learn what it really means to live by the scriptures to obtain a godly life. The godly life is not what many people want. We understand a sad reality is that our world is increasingly becoming ungodly. And I think that many people would rather have the world and all of its goodies than to live a godly life. But yet the saddest reality is that even those who proclaim or call ourselves Christians are adopting ungodly ways of living. There are some Christians who, when they hear about godliness, they would agree that we should live better. I should live better. And then they leave the church without committing to God that they are going to start living better. And without that type of commitment, they fall when temptations arises. They begin to serve God less and less. And you don't see them, not until trouble comes, not until their backs are up against the wall. They have nowhere else to turn. And they come back to church, and they ask the church to pray for them, and wondering what's wrong with them and why they are giving into sin so easily. And you and I both know why. It's because they haven't made a commitment to change or to be any different. You have to be willing to change. And I've learned over my years that you cannot change someone who does not see an issue in their actions. At all costs, we must be committed to something in this life. And I say, church, let it be Christ. Let it be the godly life. Make the change to what God calls and wants us to be. How do we approach godliness? You and I both know that we don't just decide today to be godly. It takes determination. It takes discipline. And there are so many competing distractions that's out there. So many things in our world that wants our alliance. You have to learn to train yourself. To train yourself in godliness means you have to be determined. Sometimes you gotta fight in the trenches to stay true to your commitment to godliness because of so many temptations that are out there. Don't give up the fight. Remember who is on your side. Keep in mind that God does his part, but we got to do our own. He will grow us, but we got to give him something to work with. And if you want to live a godly life, you need to understand that you're going to have to work at it. What will it take? What will it take this morning to live a godly life? Number one, it's right here in the text. The godly life will center on Christ. The godly life was centered on Christ. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's only one way to become godly, and that is in Christ. But you gotta understand, a person must first know Christ. And when he knows Christ, then begins to grow in him in order to become godly. We must have the Son in order to have the Father. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We must be in Christ in order to become godly or godlike. When you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. See, the truth of God is the truth about Jesus. And the greatest truth that this world will ever hear is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And not only is he the greatest truth, but he is the way to holiness, to
to godliness. He is the way to become a godly person, which is something we should all desire to do. We all have our desires. We all have our goals. We all have our passions in life. To get married, have a family, raise children, become a good, decent, hard-working citizen, hopefully to become a Christian, make a decent living for yourself, enjoy life, having rest and relaxation. But is it all? Isn't there any more? Well, I'm here to tell you, our main focus must be on Jesus in order to be what God wants us to be and to live godly. When you look at Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above and not on things of this world. And so we got to understand that the better you know God personally, the more you understand Him. In order to live a godly life, you must pursue a relationship with Jesus. Our daily lives must reveal understand that our daily lives, it reveals the kind of person we are. It's our choice whether or not we reveal God in our lives. But like Joshua, we must too have a conscious choice to serve God every day of our lives, not just on Sunday, but serve Him every day of our lives. When we live a godly life, we are living a life for Almighty God, and we are doing what is pleasing in His sight. But then secondly, the godly life will suffer persecution. Verse 12 through verse number 15. You see, serious Christians, those who love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, they make an impact on those around them. And often that impact isn't exactly in line with the way the society wants to go. That brings trouble in our lives. But godly living with an authentic life, changing faith in Christ, it opens the door to persecution. The credentials of the true Christian are his scars. Again, in verse number 12, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Church, listen, it's not hard to say God is good and to mean it when you have just gotten a big raise and everything is going good in your life and you have been promoted to a position that you wanted, but it's not so easy, however, to really feel that God is good when everything around you seems to be crumbling to the ground. That's when your Christianity is on trial. See, God is good not only in the good times, but God is good in the bad times. He's good when everything is working right in your life, but He's still good when things are not working well in your life. As a child of God, you need to ask yourself, do you have a testimony? And how many this morning has a testimony that you've been through some things? You have suffered. You have some scars. But you're still standing to tell somebody that it had not been for the Lord on your side. So Paul is telling Timothy that even though you will suffer persecution, even though evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, Paul tells Timothy, you need to remain fixed to the inspired scripture and what he learned, and firmly believe, which is an essential part of godly life. In verse number 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Stand firm in what you have become convinced of. The scripture are the source of all spiritual intelligence and lead to salvation, according to verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And they are to bring you into a saving relationship with Christ. See, we got to understand that there is something in the scripture that is suitable for every case. Oh, that we may love our Bibles more, and that we keep closer to God and to his word. Then shall we find benefit. We are gaining a lasting, gaining the happiness therein promised by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not only will the scripture keep you from sin and from some temptation, but it'll also make you the person that you should be. God wants us to all become more godly than we are now. And for him to work in us and to make us godly, and that we pay attention to his word. We best oppose error by promoting a solid knowledge of the word of truth. And the greatest kindness we can do to our children is to teach them early to know the word of God, to know who God really is, to know what God can do for you even when you're going through what you're going through. That's the best tool we can help our children with, is to help them to understand and know who God really is. They need to see that in your life. They need to see it when you're going through your struggles and when you're going through all your setbacks. They need to see that you trust God, and let them know that God has brought us through before. God can do it again. They need to see. They need to see that example. And then finally, you have to be equipped for a godly life. Verse 16 and 17. So what Paul does is that Paul concludes with a statement concerning the nature of the value of the scripture that is essential to living a godly life. He first says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So what we see here is that we first see the source where they came from. God. God breathed. And so he says that after he says inspiration of God, then he says, now it's profitable. It's a benefit for doctrine. Teaching of the truth is the basic Christian belief to live a godly life. You must be willing to sit under sound doctrine, to be equipped for a godly life. So he says, it's there for doctrine, for reproof. A rebuking reproof suggests that it's not only points out error, but it also is the agent to be used in refuting it by rightly dividing the word of truth. It comes the necessity for the indicating the right path. He says not only that, but for correction. Is able to hold you steady in this path of godly living. For instructions in righteousness, the end is the fruit that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, equal to any opportunity which may arise for engaging in good works. And then Paul's final exhortation to Timothy and to the church of the essential of the scripture is to live a godly life. And he tells them what is required to him by Jesus Christ. When he goes over in chapter 4, he said, now Paul, Timothy, I charge you. Therefore, before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And so he tells them, listen, this is what you need to do. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering. And doctrine. What are you saying to Timothy? Timothy, you be diligent. You preach the word whether people like it or not. You continue to preach the word. Because listen, what you're going to find, Timothy, is that many will not listen. And they won't listen to sound doctrine. People would turn away from the truth. Not only did it happen with Timothy, but guess what? It's still happening today. There are folk who don't want to hear sound doctrine. They want to turn away from the truth. They will grow weary of the plain gospel of Christ. They will be greedy of fables and taking pleasure in them. People do so when they will not endure the preaching, which is searching and plain and to the purpose. Those who love souls, they must be ever watchful. They must venture and bear all the painful effects of their faithfulness. And they take all opportunities of making known the pure gospel. Doing good times and doing bad times. Because there will become a time when professing Christians will not listen to sound doctrine. But they're going to follow after their own lusts. Instead of regarding the will of God, they dislike being interrupted in their lust. And so not only that, but they hate you coming to them and saying, man, you know, you need to get your life right. Well, you need to get your life right. And if you get your life right, if your life is right, you won't have people come to you saying, you need to get your life right. Because it's already in accordance with the word of God. And so he tells him, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Prove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering doctrine. For the time will come, and that time is now. They will not endure sound doctrine. As I close, if you want to be godly, if you want to live the godly life, you got to know God. And the way you know God, the only way we can do it, is you're going to have to spend some time with God. You're going to have to make time. I know we're living in some busy times, and you know, we're going here and there. Sometimes you just got to make time. If that's important to you, if God is important to you, guess what? You will make time. You will spend time with God. Because of why? Because it was God who woke you up this morning. It was God who started you on your way. It's God who clothed you in your right mind. Why wouldn't you want to spend time with a God who blesses you over and over again? Even we don't deserve his blessing, but he keeps on blessing us. Spend time. Spend time with Almighty God. And I hope it's your desire this morning to live a godly life, and that you will attain those things that you have observed from others that have lived godly lives through persecution and hardship, through the good times and through the bad times. You remember the source from where the scriptures came from, those who taught you how to live the godly life. And so this morning, I dare you. I dare you to live a godly life this morning. Because if you live a godly life, one day when it's all said and done, when you've been faithful, when you've been obedient to God, when you've done all that he says, you will hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. Come and I make you ruler over many." So this morning, how are you living? Are you living a godly life this morning? You know it, and God knows it. And that's who you're going to have to answer to one day. You've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. God laid it out for us. You got to hear his son. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10:17. Repent of your sin, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Then go down in water with grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Lord adds you to his church. Then you live faithfully. Live faithful unto death. And one day, you'll hear him say, "Enter ye in. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou been faithful over a few things. Come and I make you ruler over many." If you're here as a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, come right now as we stand and sing the song.
Oh, Let us pray. Kind Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful unto you for the opportunity that we have had upon this first day of the week to come together here and conduct this services in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thankful for everyone that have attended it, and we pray that they have all have gotten something from them from the service here that will be edified, and the sermon, the message that will preach will be something that they can meditate upon this week. And Father, we are thankful that we live in a country whereby we can come together, Father, may on such occasion, and may your blessing be with all the ones that are mentioned here that are in need of prayer, those that are sick, some that are unable to be with us. Bless each one of them according to your will, and whatever we might be able to do to be supportive of them in their time of need, we will do so. And as we are about to depart, may your blessing be with each one of us until we meet again. In Christ's name we do pray, and amen.